I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into a new episode of The Memo on this Thursday, March the 31st, 2016. Brad Locke here with you, along with W. Derek Russell.
The way you deliver that dayline.
Dayline. March 31st.
Thursday, March 31st.
Tupelo.
It was a normal day, but not for Betty Johnson. I don't know who Betty is.
It was a rainy day.
It was rainy, and then the sun came out.
It was a dark and stormy day. Well, it is stormy, or it was
Betty
stormy.
Betty Johnson was headed to Walmart when tragedy struck.
By the time people listen to this, the Walmart may have been carried away by a tornado. I hope not.
Whoa.
I'm just saying the weather's going to get bad this afternoon.
It's been bad since 1 a.m.
But it's going to get possibly really bad.
I just looked at it.
You looked at your Apple Watch?
I did.
That you never use except to tell the time?
I just look. It's 10:20.
That's like using your iPhone just to make phone calls. What the heck?
Did you ever watch Community when it was on?
No.
That was a great show. Never mind. There was a line about somebody using their phone to make phone calls. It's like, she was born in the 80s. She knows that her phone's actually able to make phone calls.
I was born in the 70s, so like I remember rotary dial phones.
You're so old. We had rotary
dial. We had one, I believe.
We had one. Rotary dial is always more fun, except when you're calling to win tickets to a concert.
Right. Because that takes forever. Caller number three. You're caller number 82. Yeah, I remember when we got a cordless phone. That was a pretty big deal.
Sir, we gave those away an hour ago.
I can walk back to my room and talk on the phone. Crazy. No cords.
Were you one of those children that had their own phone line?
No, I didn't actually talk on the phone that much.
Was that just a TV thing?
I had no friends.
Me either. Was that? I mean, it was always like, this guy has his own phone line.
No, how a lot of my friends had their own line.
How can they be on the internet and on the phone at the same time?
Or at least they had a phone in their room. I never had a phone in my room.
Yeah, I had a phone in my room, but I didn't. That was pointless.
I had no friends. Speak of.
Okay. I'll be your friend.
Thanks, buddy.
I'll be your very good friend. Where was I going with that? Oh, we were trying to be on the internet and on the phone at the same time.
Yeah. Well, I didn't really have... I didn't do internet things until, like, college. When I was in high school, the internet was there. We didn't have it.
When did you go to college?
Started in 94.
Oh!
So, you know, back when, like... It's back in the days of like Prodigy and Netscape and
America,
I guess.
America Online.
Huh?
AOL.
AOL, I guess, yeah.
I was in fifth grade in 94.
Good for you.
Just to bring that home for you.
Thanks for that. Yeah, I remember my sister was the computer geek in the family and still is. And so she had a computer, and for all I know, she had an internet connection. I don't know. I didn't deal with computers back then or internet. I was like a senior in high school. I was like, what's email?
You know who else had rotary phones?
Who?
Betty Johnson. She tried to call 911, but those don't work for rotary phones.
Took too long. Was 911 around when it was only rotary phones?
It was just called 9 back then.
Didn't have time to. Yeah. You had to pick up the phone, say, operator, talk to the lady at the switchboard, plug me into 911.
The UK folks used 999.
911 didn't even come around to like the 80s, right?
I don't 70s. Know. What is the history of it? The Dollop needs to do a 911.
Oh, yeah, the Dollop podcast needs to do a history of 911. Remember that show with William Shatner? That, Emergency 911.
Yeah, Rescue 911. No, I was leading to that because a really dorky story, but that show used to freak me out when I watched it when I was like, too young to be watching it, seven or eight.
This was late 80s, early 90s.
I had nightmares, but I also used to, really dorky, but on... You talk about that voice reminded me of it, like Betty Johnson was
Betty Johnson.
So I'd be like riding my bike through the neighborhood, and like it would go through my head like that something was about to happen. Chris Kiefer was innocently riding his bike through the neighborhood.
All I could think about was the reenactment they'd have to film later.
When a white man pulled up next to him
with Brad Locke inside,
a man with a creepy mustache said, "Hey, kid.
My name is Van Bellinger."
I was thinking more of like an accident with a car, but
either way.
But he made it weird, didn't you?
And I had an emergency 911 story, too.
Please.
When I was in eighth or ninth grade, there was an incident in the town I lived in at the time in Louisiana.
An incident?
That they did a story on it. The E911 people came and filmed and did a story on the kid.
Was Shatner there?
I don't think so. A couple of my friends got to be extras. Kind of, they were like in the background walking. They filmed it at this, because it happened near this elementary school where we used to go play basketball all the time. Yeah. But my friends somehow ended up like just being in the background of a shot. And I was like, man, why didn't I get in on that?
14-year-old Bradlock was having a normal day until this kid, William Shatner
this kid
was
a kid
up.
About a little younger than me that somehow accidentally hung himself. With a rope. He was playing around. He survived. It was okay, but it happened right by this school, a little patch of trees.
That's why that show gave me nightmares.
It got dark real quick in here.
Telling you,
okay,
man.
On February 16th, 1968. I can't do it like without getting February 16th, 1968.
That's a good podcast.
Senator Rankin Fite completed the first 911 call made in the United States in Haleyville, Alabama. The serving telephone company was then Alabama Telephone Company. This Haleyville 911 system is still in operation today. On February 22nd, 1968, Nome, Alaska implemented 911 service. So Alabama, the first state to have 911.
Look at them.
Take that to your next trivia competition.
There you go. I love that kind of stuff.
That's cool stuff, yeah. Okay.
It is the emergency telephone number for the North American numbering plan.
We all have learned something here today.
The number is intended for use in emergency circumstances only when William Shatner will show up.
Not when you have a stray cat that needs milk.
And to use it and to use it for any other purpose, such as prank calls, can be a crime.
Yes.
So there you go.
There you go.
Alabama.
Alabama.
Courtesy of AT&T.
Boop, 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 boop. Wow. You remember that little, was that their little chime back in the day?
Isn't that the thing that
I don't remember.
Now?
And I'm older than you. I should know that.
The AT&T thing that.
I don't know.
Ping, 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 ping.
Maybe. Sure.
I don't remember.
It's the thing they use now.
What are we doing here?
I'm trying to give you this noise. It's,
I don't think it matters.
You know it.
I don't think it really, people care at all.
That is not it. You've let me down once again, Internet.
Well,
you made a fool out of me.
Won't be the last time, Derek. So, on today's episode of The Memo, Derek Russell Google searches AT&T chime. Does it get any better than this when it comes to podcasting? No, it doesn't, my friends.
Find it.
Let me tell you, we bring you nothing but the highest quality here at the Daily Journal and at The Memo. You can listen to us on iTunes, by the way, if you're listening to us at memo.djournal.com. Vamping like a champ. Also, on any podcast app, if you're one of those weirdos that doesn't have an iPhone, like I do. So, Derek's still looking over there. Pretty sure Chris is just going to cut all this out. This is okay, well, we got a good show today. As Derek continues to search for the AT&T chime.
Hold on.
Nope. Moving on. Wait. Well, we've got William Moore on the show today talking about this new event in Saltillo, a car and bike show. We got an update from Dennis Sid on the Hancock Fabrics situation, which is not a good one for Hancock Fabrics. Scott Morris in here to review Batman versus Superman, see what he thinks about it. And
spoiler alert, he did not like it.
As many people did not. Derek over here has the weekend entertainment lineup for you, what's going to be going on in the area this weekend.
And I will counterpoint his Batman versus Superman remarks.
Somewhat, yes. You didn't like it that much either.
I did.
But well.
But it was a little disappointing.
You're biased. Anyway.
I am very biased when it comes to my two favorite characters.
Well, I love Batman too. So, yeah.
Well, we can fight if you'd like.
Locke versus Russell. I'll be Batman.
It's actually V, so it's actually a court case if you haven't noticed the title.
Oh, okay.
Batman v Superman.
It'll be cited as precedent for the next movie.
Yeah, I mean,
next movie's just going to be set in court. They'll both be in suits.
Well, and then the subtitle is Dawn of Justice. I don't know who Dawn was. She never showed up in the movie. She apparently was some sort of paralegal.
There was no justice before this movie.
She never came around.
Justice did not exist before this.
I can't wait for part two to find out who Dawn is, because I feel like that was the bigger cliffhanger.
Okay, well.
She never showed up.
It's a tease for the next movie. Okay, we got a good show, I guess. I hope. Let's get to it. Let's welcome William Moore into the show now. Welcome back, William. How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
Good, 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 man. I want to talk to you about this thing going on in Saltillo, or as some people around here call it, Saltillo.
Or Saltiller.
Or as Siri pronounces it, Saltillo.
Using the Spanish pronunciation.
Yeah, she thinks we're in Mexico. I don't know.
The downtown get down.
That's right. Get down. It's going on Saturday. It's a new event.
It's a brand new event. Inaugural event.
Inaugural.
Starting 10 o'clock in the morning with a car and motorcycle show. It's going to be downtown. They're in the main drag of town.
Right.
Going on all day. I mean, they'll have food trucks. They'll have activities for the kids. And then that night, I mean, they'll have a band playing starting at 6:30. The Rust Bucket Roadies. Weather's supposed to be real nice. And then on top of that, just if folks want to start their day a little earlier, they could go out. The Saltillo Junior Women's Club is having a Pirates, Princesses, and Pancakes breakfast where children, only children, are encouraged to dress up as pirates and princesses.
Oh, dang.
I was going to dress up. I know you were hoping to be able to pull out your eye patch here, Brad, but.
What are you talking about? I was going to pull out my tiara. Shoot. Dang it.
You beat me to the joke, Brad. I can't make fun of you if you do it yourself.
Uh-huh. Anyway, it's a new event, and it's part of the Saltillo brand new Main Street Association. So they're starting to do more and more activities, and they're trying to coordinate activities. So like this one where the Women's Club already had an annual pancake breakfast, but they're tying it in conjunction with the car and bike show so that you have more of a fluid all-day kind of activities. You know, they're planning on additional events later on in the month and throughout the summer.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. With that designation they have now, remind me, it's called the Main Street.
Main Street Association. They're part of the Mississippi Main Street Association.
That's what it is. And Lindsay Hines is the director of it. Seems to be jumping in feet first with this thing.
She is. She's sort of learning as she goes, but she's real energetic.
Yeah.
And excited to be doing this and excited to start new things. I mean, because, you know, later on in April, they're going to have a citywide cleanup.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, they're.
Yeah, I mean, Saltillo's a growing town. She kind of, this is something I think can thrive. We've got like the Blue Suede Cruise here in Tupelo, which is kind of a similar event, I guess, as far as the nice cars and whatnot. But Saltillo, a town like Saltillo that's been growing, I guess it would be important to establish these sorts of events to help it, you know, give it
a sense of identity. It's a reason for folks to come to town.
Right.
You know, and I mean, they have an old downtown. I mean, it's a real nice little downtown. And basically, I mean, they're going to block off streets. I mean, it's going to be a block party atmosphere. You'll have classic cars and motorcycles lined up, you know, on the sides of the streets. You know, folks can walk or wander around. You don't have to worry about traffic.
Yeah.
In addition to that, I mean, all the businesses downtown will be open. So, I mean, all of a sudden, they're going to have an influx of customers or potential customers.
Yeah. And the weather's going to be nice. It's not
supposed to be
nice.
Highs in the mid-60s and sunny.
Not so nice today, but it's going to be nice by Saturday.
Yeah, it's supposed to be real pleasant.
As you mentioned, it'd be kind of a block party type, but no coolers, they said. It's a family-friendly event.
It's a family-friendly event.
Yes, it is. Downtown Saltillo starts about 10 a.m. at 10 a.m., the main events and all of the hot rods. And I mean, just to see the cool cars would be worth the trip. And Lindsay Hines said they've had 28 people pre-register.
They had 28 pre-register. And with car shows this time of year, most car owners are sort of waiting to see what the weather's going to do. Because if it's going to rain, they don't want to get the cars out.
Obviously.
But since the weather's supposed to be perfect, they're expecting to have a influx of people that morning driving up.
Cool.
And want to show off their cars.
Sounds like a good time. Check out William's story at djournal.com and maybe get out to Saltillo on Saturday. Thank you, William.
Glad to do it.
And don't forget about the two sports podcasts that we produce here at the Daily Journal and djournal.com. We had a new episode of Prep Rally dropped on Wednesday afternoon. Myself and Gene Phelps talking about high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. We talked about all-area basketball, putting that team together. That should come out soon, the Daily Journal all-area team. And we talked about new Nettleton football coach Ken Topps. In fact, there's a story in today's journal about Coach Topps that Gene had, so check that out. And today, this afternoon, as we do every Thursday, we'll have a new episode of Double Coverage with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry. That's Ole Miss and MSU Sports Talk with those guys. You can listen to both of these podcasts on iTunes or your podcast app. You can also listen online. You can listen to Prep Rally at preprally.djournal.com and Double Coverage. You can listen to at doublecoverage.djournal.com. Let's welcome business editor Dennis Sid onto the program. Hello, Dennis.
Hello. Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Had donuts yesterday, so.
That's
but not
right.
Today.
You brought in lots of donuts.
Yeah.
Wedding season is over.
Exactly. And that was a tough 40 days plus.
Yeah, I was, you know, Dennis brings in donuts on a pretty regular basis. For a few weeks there, I was like.
Six weeks, no donuts.
Yeah, I just started to notice, wow, Dennis hadn't brought donuts in a while. I just
didn't realize. Starla still stayed in business, by the way, too.
So. Somehow. I didn't realize you had given them up for Lent.
Everybody suffered.
We did. We all suffered.
We're back, and the donuts are back, so yes, we're all good.
They were good. Anyway, let's talk about this Hancock Fabrics business, kind of been dominating our headlines lately. Of course, they filed for Chapter 11 back in February, going to close 70 stores, including the one in Tupelo. But they're hoping to find a buyer for the rest of them. But as your story notes today, that could be in jeopardy. For the layman like me, Dennis, kind of explain what's happening here. They want to find a buyer, but they could end up getting bought by this group that basically closes stores, is what they do.
Right. Back in February when they filed, Hancock Fabrics filed Chapter 11, which is the second time since 2007, they immediately said, we need to close these 70 stores because they're underperforming. So they hired this company, Great American, who, by the way, helped close a couple hundred stores for Hancock back in 2007. Well, this company is taking care of those 70 stores. But at the bankruptcy hearings, there was a hearing Tuesday to find bidders for the rest of the 190 stores or so that Hancock Fabrics has. They're hoping to get a bid from somebody who would keep Hancock as a, quote, going concern. In other words, keep the stores running.
Right.
But the only bid that emerged, or the successful bid that emerged, was from Great American, who offered what they called a backup bid. And that bid was, going into the hearing, was around $65 million. So you're talking about $65 million for, you know, 190 stores. Immediately comes to mind, wow, I think they're going to liquidate these stores. I mean, what can you do with it?
Yeah.
And then, as a story in today's Daily Journal notes, the secondary bidder, or that's helping along, or as a joint venture, these two companies have worked together all over the country to close and liquidate stores. So, reading between the lines, it seems that's what's going to happen, unfortunately, to Hancock Fabrics, founded in 1957 here in Tupelo. Yep. Now, you know, we may be jumping the gun, but from everything we've heard, including some sources within the company, that's what they've been told. They're going to liquidate. How soon? How fast? We don't know. There's a hearing going on right now in front of the bankruptcy judge to approve the bid. I don't know what's going to stop him from approving it, but you know, hopefully we'll find out later today. I know there's a lot of uncertainty going on with employees and customers. You know, what's going on with Hancock Fabrics? We really won't know until, you know, later this afternoon, perhaps.
So what's the worst-case scenario here? They just,
I think this
Hancock
is the worst
disappears case, yeah, from the face of the earth?
Hancock Fabrics disappears.
What's the best-case scenario here?
Best case, they struggle on for, you know, a little bit longer. You know, these guys haven't made a profit since, I think, 2009. They've been running in the red this whole time. I mean, it's just, you know, deep in debt, can't, you know, difficulty paying bills. They're, you know, they got creditors nipping at their heels. They're underfunded their pension by about $44 million. Mm. It's not good.
A lot of people affected by it, obviously.
A lot of people, 4,500 employees going into the bankruptcy filing. There's been some attrition along the way.
Yeah.
But still, you know, we're talking thousands of people. Company that, you know, again, founded in 57 by the Hancock family, which, by the way, the Hancock family no longer has any interest, I mean, as in shares in the company.
They, right.
They divested themselves years ago. But anyway, it's an unfortunate situation.
What went wrong over the years?
Several things. Well, you know, it's a changing business.
Yeah.
You know, fabrics and crafts, you know, how, you know, customers, the dynamic has changed. But you also have competitors like Michaels, Hobby Lobby, Joann Fabrics. And over the years, Hancock has tried to revamp its stores to make it a you know, something that customers will be able to find a variety of things. They started selling furniture a few years ago, furniture accessories, backed off that and didn't go well. They had this great idea to remodel their stores that we visited back at headquarters a couple of years ago. But when you're only doing four or five renovations per quarter or per year, and you have 200 stores, 200
yeah.
plus stores, that's just not going to do it.
Yeah. Tough situation there. You can read the story in today's journal at djournal.com, and Dennis will have the latest updates with the hearing and anything else going on at his blog, which is at bizbuzz.djournal.com.
That's it.
Thank you, Dennis.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Be sure to watch the Daily Journal's Capital View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated by Mississippi lawmakers. Watch live each Monday afternoon at 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. New episodes will be released as long as the legislature is in session.
And check out Thrive Marketing, a full-service digital marketing company located right here in Tupelo that offers websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses. They are online at thrive.ms. That brings us now to today's news memo. For more on these stories, read your daily journal or visit djournal.com. The merger of three school districts in Chickasaw County will be delayed for at least a year under legislation pending in the House. Under the proposal, a 10-member study commission would be created to study the merger of the Houston, Okolona, and Chickasaw County school districts. The committee would include 9 members from Chickasaw County and State Superintendent of Education Carrie Wright or her designee. It would make a recommendation to the 2017 legislature.
Amory's Trent Harmon attempts to gain a spot in American Idol's Final Three tonight. The show airs at 7 o'clock on Fox. Meanwhile, Cindy Harmon will gather with family and friends to watch her son as she does each week. Zach Orsborn has a story in today's Daily Journal about how those close to Harmon have followed his progress through the singing competition. You can read it in today's paper or at djournal.com.
Circuit clerks would not have to issue marriage license to same-sex couples under legislation that passed the Mississippi Senate on Wednesday. The bill also would allow businesses to refuse to provide wedding-related services to gay couples. The bill now goes back into the House, which can accept the Senate's version or invite a conference to work out differences. Opponents claim that the bill sanctions discrimination. Senator Jennifer Branning explained the bill on the Senate floor and said it simply protects those with sincere religious beliefs from government punishment.
Facilities and Event Management magazine has recognized Tupelo's Todd Hunt. The Bancorp South Arena and Conference Center Executive Director was listed as one of 20 facility executives who earned the most luminary awards. Those awards were based on nominations from booking agents, talent buyers, and promoters in the past year. Hunt returned to the arena as director in 2007 after holding the position of general manager from 1997 to 1999. He was also the director of the Humphrey Coliseum for Mississippi State University.
Professional and backyard chefs will compete for the best burger in Tupelo Friday during the inaugural Bud and Burgers event. The event will benefit the Boys and Girls Club of North Mississippi and the Downtown Tupelo Main Street Association. It will be located on South Broadway Street. Lunch will be served from 11:30 until 1 p.m. The evening session with entertainment, adult beverages, and team cooking competitions will be held from 5 to 10 p.m. Boys and Girls Club will be selling smoked black Angus hamburger plates for $8 both at lunch and in the evening. Budweiser products will only be sold at the evening session. A panel of judges will select the professional winner as well as the first through third place honors in the amateur division. The public will have a chance to sample the competition burgers at night and select the People's Choice Award winner.
Well, it's Thursday, my friends, as we've noted already on the show. And that means Mr. M. Scott Morris is in here to talk to us about movies. Hello, Mr. Morris.
And to make the podcast great again.
Well, you can try. It may be a hopeless cause.
That's my whole goal here today.
You reviewed one of the supposed to be a big blockbuster movie, Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice. Been a lot of hype for this ever since they cast Ben Affleck as Batman, which I was not crazy about. And apparently my fears were justified.
Well, it's a blockbuster. It's sold yeah. massive
it's
amounts.
Made, it's made I mean, money, unfortunately.
When I saw it on Sunday, it was packed. And
I haven't even seen it, and you can tell I already have negative feelings about it.
I went in with some negative feelings, mainly because I gave Man of Steel, the Superman thing, with the same director, Zack Snyder, an F. There are moments in that that were just so unbelievably stupid, I just couldn't forgive it, you know?
Yeah.
And this movie was slightly better. than that. Yeah. There are some, but oh man, it's a muddled movie. You know, the basic why would Batman and Superman fight? I mean, even in the title, it kind of makes you ask the question, and it's an intriguing title, really. And you have reason. I mean, Batman is a vigilante, and he injures people in the course of what he's doing. Does things that cops in a perfect world would be prosecuted for. And then in The Man of Steel, if you'd seen that, in that fight, innocent people were killed and maimed in that fight when Superman was fighting Zod the last time, and you saw all the collateral damage. I mean, sure, he was saving the world, but the collateral damage was massive. You can see why they would have... so that makes sense. Yeah. And so you could really have a simple, profound movie exploring that, but this is a very complicated and not so profound movie.
Yeah, a little aside about the collateral damage. Maybe I'm just old school, but I don't enjoy when a superhero movie, or just when a good guy in general, when there's collateral damage when he's fighting the bad guys, that's great, but then, you know, people are getting property destroyed or getting injured. It just has always bothered me, which, you know, I'm sure that would happen if Superman or Batman existed in real life.
Complicates things.
Well, you know, but I think on that level, I mean, because really this is a better discussion than about the movie, because the movie is not very good.
Yeah.
But the metaphor I think that's going on is that, you know, we had 9/11 and we had a reason to fight back, and we're facing a threat.
Yeah.
But there is collateral damage in that threat. And so mainly I think it's art reflecting life in that regard. The same thing happens in the Marvel series. They're trying to save the world, and in saving the world, a lot of innocent people get hurt, and it reflects reality. Maybe you don't want that in your comic book movie, I understand. But I don't have a problem with that. I just have a problem with the stupid way they put it together in this movie.
Every movie you have to have a certain suspension of disbelief. Especially a superhero movie, which that's part and parcel to it. But in this case, it goes beyond that, because there's, like you note in the review today in the Daily Journal, just so many lapses of logic within internal logic that's supposed to hold this together.
I mean, like Lex Luthor, I mean, if you know anything about the Superman world, he's a bad guy. Yeah. I mean, he's not presented as a bad guy in the beginning, but I'm not spoiling anything to say he's a bad guy.
Everybody knows, yeah.
But he's a certain type of bad guy, and in this, he's presented more like a Joker-esque character. I can't tell, what does he hope to gain? I'm not exactly sure what he's after.
He's just evil for evil's sake?
Yeah, and that's not really a Luther trademark. Luther always wanted to end up on top at the end of all this stuff, and he just starts doing things that are, I don't know, less than... There's no end game for him, except chaos.
And Jesse Eisenberg has always kind of annoyed me, and he seems like he would be annoying in this role.
You know, I like him in a lot of things, but in this... And he's fine in this as far as it goes. I mean, he plays this type of character, but then once you start seeing what he's doing, it becomes crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, not crazy, it doesn't make much sense. There's no, like... Why are you doing this? Because Zack Snyder, the director, told me to do so. That's what I'm thinking.
Is Zack Snyder going to keep getting handed these big projects?
I don't think he's getting the next one. And he may get more. I mean, but it made all this money, so maybe things are great.
He's doing Justice League Part 1 and 2.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah, well, Derek Russell, you saw the movie. How'd you feel about it?
My thoughts were somewhat in line with Scott's. I gave it a little higher than I did just because I'm biased completely.
Fanboy.
when it comes to Superman, it had a lot of plot holes. I compared it to, and I wrote about it in a column. I compared it to, it was like Picasso painted a Where's Waldo. It's very pretty, but it's very messy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're trying to set up future movies.
Yeah.
And so they have dream sequences, multiple dream sequences that just muddy the story.
Yeah.
I mean, the fanboys, what you could have done is you could have had something at the end of the credits for the fanboys to say what's coming and left it there. And you could have gotten rid of almost, you could have had just one, because you kind of needed one for a plot point, because you had to know for sure what this character's name was.
Yeah.
But even that, the way it played out was stupid.
I did not care for the dream sequence. There was one dream sequence I liked, and all the other ones, of which there were five
in the film,
were just too much.
And for a movie already trying to pack all these characters in, it was... I will say, though, that one of the... I really enjoyed the Wonder Woman character. I enjoyed watching her fight when she finally got serious on there and started going showing her brutal Amazonian ways as an Amazon warrior that she is. That was fun to watch. I didn't know how she would fight. You know, I don't know if you. Last time I saw Wonder Woman do anything, it was Linda Carter.
Oh,
doing
yeah.
It.
Love that show, man.
It's the last live action thing they've done. That's how long it's been.
And so having her, I mean, I'm trying to think of a term that's that would keep this podcast great. But I mean, like, but she's just one tough senorita when she gets going. And so I'm looking forward to that future, seeing what she does in the future.
One question I had about this whole concept of Batman versus Superman in the first place is Batman, he's got his resources and his little gadgets, and obviously it looks like he's wearing a freaking body armor that the army would be jealous of. But he's mortal. Superman's not. How can he even stay with him in a fight?
Well, the element of kryptonite is introduced. Oh, yeah, that's true. His kryptonite. Film, which was not in the previous one.
Okay, so he does take advantage of his one weakness.
Yes.
Okay. Because otherwise, I don't see how.
I mean, that's all you can do, right? Yeah. I mean, the only way you can really defeat him is, well, according to comic books, there are other ways. But
cut his head off, right?
Well, that's a vampire.
Well, you'd think it'd work for Superman. You'd think it'd work for Superman if he doesn't have a head. I don't know,
but you'd have to be able to cut it. I guess you'd have to use a...
Yeah, maybe you can't cut his head. I don't know. His
I think
skin
mainly
is made
the
of...
only thing that can kill a Kryptonian is probably another Kryptonian, but maybe that's not quite maybe true
so.
Either.
Well, you gave it a D+, Scott. So,
I did. I gave it a D+.
I'll wait until it comes out on DVD or something.
It wasn't... back in the day, Sheena Barnett and I think she was personally offended by the F I gave Man of Steel. And so she used to sit by me in our cubicle, and it was a chilly relationship there for a couple of weeks until she was able to forgive me for that grade. This is slightly better, I felt like, but still, I don't know how these movies get made this way. I think there's better talent in Hollywood that could go in there and make this a... they had to be able to see how complicated that script was and just thought, no, let's just strip this down a little bit.
Yeah.
But they did not.
Well, there you go. You can read the review in today's journal or at djournal.com. Thank you, Scott.
Hey, it should be noted that I don't get any of that $400 million it made on opening weekend, so I'm probably full of you-know-what when it comes to this. True. All reviewers might be.
They're still getting paid, those guys.
Because people are going to see it no matter what the critics
Zack
say.
Zack Snyder's getting paid, so he can just throw dollar
they're
bills.
They're actually replacing the sound effect on the DVD whenever Batman punches Superman. They've just done the salary breaking. That's cha-ching, cha-ching. Cha-ching.
Oh, yeah.
Every single
it's
time.
It's not going to be like a nice horn section. Kapow! Mm-hmm. Like from TV
from
show.
The 60s.
Yeah. Oh, look. That bounced up there on
you. Yeah, you blew out the mic there.
Kapow, I just deafened Chris Kiefer, our producer.
Yeah, he's got the headphones on. Sorry, Chris. Yeah, okay. Well, all right, Scott, we'll talk to you again next week.
All right.
All right, Derek, we need to know what's going on this weekend. We got the scene section in today's journal, and you got a lot of stories in there. I guess there's a lot going on.
You can go see Batman versus Superman as well.
You could, or you could do other stuff.
It's not that bad, Brad.
Okay, sure.
It's just dark. That's really the only thing with it. It's a dark movie.
Yeah, that's fine.
Not for kids.
Yeah, okay.
It's not for children.
That's too bad because it's a superhero movie.
It's an adult superhero movie.
Mm, okay.
It makes you think.
I'm not sure like it that. Does. It it's makes you like think that. What the heck were they it's, thinking?
Hey.
They shouldn't have cut out the scenes with Jimmy Kimmel.
Exactly. The Jimmy Kimmel scene should have been left in. They made it far more lighthearted.
Yeah, go YouTube that, people.
Well, as William said earlier, the Downtown Saltillo Get Down Bike and Car Show going on. Mm-hmm. That is at 10 a.m. Downtown Saltillo. Also on Saturday is the Tupelo Ballet production of The Sleeping Beauty. That's going on at 2 p.m. Cool. At the Tupelo High School Performing Arts Center. The Black Rodeo was on the front page, but I got a phone call this morning that it has been canceled. So no Black Rodeo.
Oh, well, that's too bad.
On Saturday night at the Bancorp South Arena, that will not be happening. What you can do on Saturday night is you can get up and gussied up in your finest, Brad. In your finest, I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Not in your cowboy duster and hat, but your finest. Cocktail attire for the Gumtree Museum Gala at the Tupelo Country Club.
Ooh.
$50 a ticket.
Ooh.
Includes dinner and a cash bar and... they will be auctioning off antique doors that have been painted.
Antique doors?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that was a thing.
From the 1920s.
Wow. Those are old doors.
So that would be before Jim Morrison.
That's going to be the 1920s. Yes.
I don't get the joke. Oh, the doors. Okay, I get the joke. Sorry.
Whoa, I'm distracted. That took a minute, didn't
I'm distracted by Twitter. There's like weather closings at schools, and I'm trying
weather
to,
closings. So Betty Johnson was on her way to school.
I'm just trying to multitask.
Betty Johnson on her way to school district.
Be careful out there today. Whenever you're listening to this podcast.
Yes, yes. Be careful because the weather is going to be possibly nasty. But anyway, go ahead. The art thing. So that
yes, the
cool.
art thing. Thank you.
I told you I was paying attention. The art thing.
Like a five-year-old watching TV. Yeah, I heard. Yeah, I heard what you said. Okay. Go clean your room and wash my car. No, go clean your room and wash my car. Not that I'm having a five-year-old wash my car or anything. I just want to make sure that's...
I bet they do it for cheap.
Just want to put that out there. But yes, the Gumtree Museum Gala going on, Tupelo Country Club. That is going to be at 7 p.m. on Saturday. $50 okay. a ticket. Tickets for that available by calling 841-1746. Also, a lot of other great items being auctioned off.
Winter Jam this weekend?
Winter Jam tonight.
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 Okay. It's spring now.
Well, that happens.
Oh, well.
Over at the Bancorp South Arena. Normally always sells out.
Who's yeah. there this year?
About 10 different bands. Crowder, Red, Sidewalk Prophets, New Song, For King and Country. A lot of great Christian musical acts going there. That's the biggest Christian music party of the year. And years past, the arena has always sold out that event. Last year, the day that it was supposed to happen, we had a terrible snowstorm.
I remember
and
that.
And they canceled it.
Winter Jam was yes, canceled and, because of winter.
And they moved it off a couple of months later, and I don't think numbers were as high then when they moved it. But I know one year I went, and the line was all the way back to Hardee's.
Good grief.
To get in.
That's okay.
Wow.
That's a lot of people.
It is.
Because you can't buy advance tickets. You got to buy them at the door.
Right.
$10
yep.
admission. So. All right. Winter Jam, that is tonight at 6 p.m. at Bancorp South Arena. Also, story on TCT's next production of The Boys Next Door, which is happening at their off-Broadway location. That's going to be next weekend, though, April 7th and 8th at 7:30 p.m.
Good deal.
Not the only play next weekend.
That's true.
Hadn't heard anything else going on.
A week from today. Well, I'm starting to get kind of scared now. It's a week from today. Jeez. Got my hat today.
Think about how many rehearsals are left and then get the really scared.
Yeah, I know. The Peacemakers. Yeah, Darla Webb works in advertising. Let me borrow her husband's hat, cowboy hat. I got a big head. His hat is a 7. This hat is a 7 5/8. I don't think they go above size 8, do they, Derek? Normally hats don't go past size 8. It's still kind of tight on me.
It fit you before you started doing this podcast.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Before I got my picture in the Baldwin paper, got the big head. That's right. So yeah, that's just a week away. The Peacemakers, 5 shows, Derek.
5 performances, 5 times to see Brad Lock go. What's your name, dog?
Who's the dog on the chain?
Who's the dog on the chain? I'm Brad Lock. Dang it.
I'm Van Bellinger.
I'm Brad Van Bellinger.
Tell him we should just stay in character all day at work. I thought about wearing the hat to the meeting this morning.
Did you?
I should have, but I didn't. Maybe I'll wear it to the 4
What's
o'clock.
Your name, dude?
What kind of moccasins you got
what
on there?
What kind of moccasins you got there? Nike. What does that say?
Dance.
So okay.
That'll be fun, I guess.
Yep. It's going to happen.
It's
$20. Whether I'm ready or not. Tickets on that. $20.
Well worth the price of admission.
For an amazing set.
Dude, the set. Even if we
good acting too. But,
yeah,
you know,
but
the
even
set,
if we like totally screw up the play, it's worth going just to see
that's
the set.
That's kind of what I think. I was like, I hope nobody's looking at me because they want to see how good this set looks.
No, the set is amazing. And it's a small theater, it's a small stage, and we have two-act, four-scene play, and so it's set in 2 locations, and they just can flip the set just basically by moving walls, and it changes everything. It's
what
amazing.
Happens when you have an engineer own a theater company.
True, yeah, Clark Ritchie.
You die in this? Spoiler alert?
Well, I'm the bad guy. What do you think?
I think you ride off into the sunset with the girl.
Sure, why not?
Is it a comedy or a tragedy?
There's some laughs. Courtesy of John McHouston, mostly.
Mostly him, yes.
Yeah.
I get a couple of good lines.
I laugh at you, but I don't think it's laughing with you.
Well, okay.
What's your name, dude? I have no laughs.
That's true.
It might be funny when I get shot, But I don't have anything that.
Oh yeah, I shoot you off stage.
Sorry, you do. You kill me.
Oh, spoiler! Derek dies.
Yeah.
Well, you're not a main character.
Thanks.
Well, you're not. You die in the first freaking.
I'm pretty pivotal to the show. Pivotal. Brad.
Let's
be honest here.
But you die early.
The actions could not take place were it not for my entrance.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. There's 10 other ways to do it. But anyway, yeah, I die quickly.
That's too bad. A lot of people die. So
it's a Western. A lot of people die.
It happens. So anyway, yeah, it's a week from today. Yeah, rehearsal tonight.
No need to see the show now. We just spoiled it all for you.
Pretty much. Yeah.
But we didn't tell you why we die, and that's the important reason.
Exactly. It's very complicated.
It's like going to a Tarantino movie. Mm,
basically. You know people are going to die, but why?
To quote one of the lines from the play, it's not black and white.
No, it's in color.
It's a play about...
How could you do a play in black and white? Yeah,
it's a play about morality, about how things aren't always just cut and dry.
What?
About the complexity of morality.
That's not what I got out of it at all. There's a drunk newspaper man that's trying to rule the entire city.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is. Played by John McHouston in a fantastic role that I have a hard time believing he's sober on stage during some of the scenes.
Because drunk is hard to play, I'm
drunk
told.
Is very hard to play, and but he does it with the swiftness. And it just kind of escalates from there. The newspaper mogul wants to rule the entire town.
Drunk newspaper man.
Of Water Valley.
Nobody will believe it.
Too much of a stretch. Okay.
That's actually not the plot. I'm just kidding. Okay. There is a drunk newspaper man.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And the town is called Water Valley.
It is. Did Clark name that after Water Valley, Mississippi?
I think there is a Water Valley, Texas.
Okay. So it's based on my wife won't stop calling me in the middle of the podcast.
Does that mean something's wrong?
She wants to get on the podcast again. Or something's wrong. Yeah, I guess I better wrap up the show and call my wife back.
Hey, check us out online, twitter.com/djournalmemo.
Yes.
Also online, memo.djournal.com. And you can email us, memo@journalinc.com. All these stories we talked about today can be located in your daily journal or online, djournal.com. For the fastest headlines, be sure to follow the journal on Twitter @DJournalNow on the Twitter.
And don't forget to subscribe to the show in iTunes or podcast apps. That gives you new episodes instantly, allows you to listen more easily on mobile devices, and it's free.
For free.
Leave us a review. It's not hard to do.
No, it's not. Give us 5 stars.
5 stars. Say this. Brad Locke has the creepiest mustache I've ever not seen. 5 stars.
And I can't look away.
Yeah.
Except for it's a podcast, so you can't see it. But
5 stars.
Yeah. 5 stars. Okay. Cool.
See you on Monday, Brad.
Neil McCoy.
Neil McCoy.
Oh, okay.
See you on Monday.
See y'all.